This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I am back with my next guest or guests, I don't know. I'm going to have someone from National Geographic Kids. Who's on first?
This is Sarah, yes. Hello, how are you?
Okay, fine. It's Sarah Wozner Flynn, and I love this book, Sarah. It is called Not So Common Sense. Oh, boy, oh, boy. It's beautiful. It's, of course, a Nat Geo book. That's what I expect from a Nat Geo book. And it's got my favorite yellow edging, which makes me so happy, puts a smile on my face. So, Sarah, did you have fun learning all about money?
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, I learned so much. No, I'm not. If Alvin comes on, he's the financial educator. I am a nonfiction writer, so I love just digging into subjects, and digging into money was just a super enlightening experience that I had.
Well, I think Alvin is on. Alvin Hall.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to have you because you are the author of an award-winning children's book called Show Me the Money. And
yes, I am.
So you know all about money.
Yes, I've been writing about money and teaching about it for a long time. And I love this book, Not So Common Sense, because it really captures what I think is the essence of what will interest a child, but also their parents about money, because parents actually buy these books for their children. So that connection, when the parents will look at this and say, I think I want my child to know this, but I find this interesting too. This is what makes this book so great.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's what happens with Nat Geo books. They really are for everyone from 2 to 102. And
yeah.
And you can, and the wonderful thing, of course, they are so beautifully laid out, and they're so gorgeous. The paper's gorgeous, the photography's gorgeous, and the writing is always so perfect. And, of course, the research that's gone into it is amazing.
Yes, it
required a lot of research. Yep, on my end, I worked on it from 2019 to 2020, and then we actually rewrote quite a few parts after 2020 and everything that went on in the world, and money was such a big part of changes that happened, and so we had to go and write things from a post-2020, post-pandemic viewpoint.
So, Alvin, tell us what... do you want kids to learn from this book about money? Not just the, the value of the money, but the beauty of it, the historical beauty of it, how the coins were created, and all that goes behind creating this wonderful, gorgeous money. When I was a kid, a lot of us collected money. I know my father, because he had been in World War II, he had a bunch of old coins. And one of the first things I remember doing as a kid was taking those coins out of his trunk.
Yes. When I travel, I bring back coins for my godchildren and for my friends' children. What I want kids to get out of this is what's appropriate to their time of development. So when you're young and you're like 7 or 8, that's when kids begin to accumulate things like baseball cards or coins or dolls. And that's the time when their curiosity will be most sparked by telling them about the different currencies. What are the characteristics? Because kids are learning to categorize. As they get older and are capable of more abstract thinking, then the book will talk to them about things like interest rates and mortgages and how currency rate changes. All of those things are important. But ultimately, we want kids to walk away with a sense of how money is a useful tool in their lives. It's not the be-all and end-all, but they see every day their parents buying things, their parents paying bills, transactions occurring, things their friends are buying. We want them to understand these things, but also find out how they can use money to bring riches of all kinds, not just financial riches, into their lives.
Well, you're right, because one of the things I really love is the idea that kids learn about money, about things like mortgages, interest rates, exchange rates, because how can they understand how to make a better world if they don't understand their own budget, and let alone the budget of the country?
This is true. And this is an evolving situation where as a child gets older, their knowledge and curiosity deepen, and they're much more open to understanding that material. I think to teach it too early runs a risk that the kid will not fully understand it, but by introducing it in a simple way, the way Sarah has done in this book, it opens the child to understanding, to becoming a lifelong learner about money, which is important because, as you and I know, it does not stay the same, does it?
Oh, no. And Sarah, you mentioned research. What were some of the fun things that you discovered, and did you actually go places to look at money? Did they let you into Fort Knox, by the way?
No, I mean, I had a lot of really fascinating Zoom calls and phone calls with experts, but usually, you know, I am a mom of four. Travel is not always feasible for me. So I wish I went to these far-off places and got to see these amazing mints. And I have been to the Franklin Mint, I have to say. While I was researching this book, my kid actually had a field trip there. So I got to go there and see how money is made in Philadelphia. But as far as like surprising facts goes with this book, I really enjoyed writing about big money. I'm a big Guinness Book of World Records fan, so I always like to fascinate about the biggest and the wildest things out there. And so there's a section called Big Money, and I focus on things like the rye stones on the island of Yap in the Pacific Ocean, which was their currency, and you can still go there and see these giant boulders that they used as their coinage, although they didn't exchange it necessarily like we exchange money today, they did take ownership of it. And it was just like a lot of fun stories about how they would go and get the limestone from another island, create these coins, bring them over to their island. One time one fell into the ocean, but the owner of it still claimed ownership to it because they knew where it was. And that was his currency, and his wealth was on the bottom of the ocean, but it still made sense to them. So it's neat to see like the evolution of how different cultures use money in the past and how it's evolved to today and how it might look like in the future as well.
Well, when you said big money, I immediately thought of a $1,000 bill. Do either one of you have a $1,000 bill?
No.
They're very rare. No, I've never had even seen one in real life. I've seen it online, but not on real life.
I used to carry around three $1,000 bills.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Yes, I did. For many years, I always had three $1,000 bills. That's when I was traveling in the Middle East. So it's very funny. And of course, I wish I had them today. I could buy some eggs. Because, I mean, at the rate eggs are going...
Did you spend the $1,000 bills eventually?
Oh, yes. Eventually, I spent them. But I did have them for many years. And nowadays, I could buy a couple dozen eggs with those.
That's really funny. Because for years ago, I did an interview with Steve Wozniak, one of the founders of Apple Computer. And he gave me a $2 bill out of the back of his Hummer. And I have carried that $2 bill in my wallet. And often when I'm talking to kids, I'll take this $2 bill out because they've never seen one. And they become completely fascinated by it.
Oh, that's I love $2 bills too. The $1,000 was nice, but $2 bills are lovely. And of course, I love coins because as you did, Alvin, I traveled a lot to all sorts of countries, and I have coins from all these countries. I just love them. Sometimes I will just look at them, and they bring back so many fond memories.
Yes, they do. And I view these coins as inspiration. So when I give them to young people, especially children, often I'll give them a little book about traveling, a Nat Geo book that talks about a country or something like that as a part of the inspiration, because you want to keep that curiosity alive. And they will eventually start to think about, how can I get to that country? How do I travel there? I have to earn money to do this. So it's also inspiring them to think about how they can use finances to expand their worlds, to see more of the outside world and grow that way.
So how did you get involved in money? Did you collect coins when you were a kid?
No, I was raised on a farm and we were very, very poor. We had no money at all. My first really encounter with money started when I went to college up in Maine. And I was on scholarship and had to do work study. And because my parents had no money at all, I had to manage my money carefully. But all of that changed and become a much bigger subject for me when I moved in 1982 to New York City and started working on Wall Street, where people were earning six figures and seven figures. It was unbelievable to me. And I remember coming home from work one day and reading an article about a guy that I went to school with who was suddenly worth $1 billion. And I asked myself the following question: what did that guy know about money or learn about money that I never did? That started my journey. And since then, I've been learning about money, how it works, how investments work. And I share that knowledge.
Well, I think it's wonderful. And as I said, I love this book. And, you know, I grew up on a farm also without any money, and we had no money until we moved to the city. And that's where I first got my first silver dollar. And that was from Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And that's a story.
I still have it. And he also gave me my name. So if you're wondering why I introduced myself as Patsy with a Z, it's because that's how he used to say my name. He would say Patsy. And he would say, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar. If you don't give me a hug, I'm going to holler.
Oh, that's fantastic. What a great story.
So I learned about what a 2-bit was real fast. And then as it went on, he used to give me either 50-cent pieces or silver dollars.
What was your money lesson that you learned from that period, Patsy?
Save it. I still have those coins, and also a little bit of I wanted more. I love it.
That's wonderful. I love it. It's like you're still in touch with that little girl inside you from that period of time. You know, when you were getting that, were you about 8 or 9 when that happened?
Seven,
that's
six
perfect,
or seven.
Because that's when kids learn of accumulation, numeration, and setting goals for themselves, and they become fascinated by these objects. So that is perfect. You were perfectly developmental for that time.
And, of course, one of the things I loved that you mentioned here about the British money, because I lived in England, and I love all that money. I love all the colorful money. I want American money, but boy, I do love to collect all the pretty money from Europe and around the world.
Yes, and you know, it's been National Geographic's mission forever to bring the world to their readers, and so this is just a way that we can introduce kids to geography as well by saying you may never be able to go to South Africa anytime soon, or maybe you will, but here's what the money looks like, and it's really, really cool. There's animals on there. There's rhinos and big cats. And so there's a section that just showcases cool money from around the world. And some of it is so beautiful, like you mentioned, colorful and very different from what we are used to in the United States.
So, Elvin, I do like that part that you were writing about the stock market, and I think that's very important. Breaking down the stock market is great. That's a wonderful section. You must have had fun with that one.
I did, because I love to tie investing to a kid's interest. A kid is interested in a piece of technology or a game or clothing. And I said, oh, you know, this company makes that. Why don't we sit down and follow that company? And first we talk about investing, just following the price. And then we talk about what happens to the company. Are your friends buying this? What is the effect that has on the company's income? Are other kids buying this product? So you tie it to their interest, and you gradually bring them in and expand it, and it makes them see the world and finance in a much broader way, and they understand wealth building. And that's a key process to building the financial security that they want for their future.
And, of course, then you have the section on going broke, which I think a lot of kids will find it interesting about Lady Gaga.
I guess, you know, I actually did not know that about Lady Gaga until I researched this section. And so she lost a lot of her money, and it was pretty, really bad time for her. But then look at her now.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a dose of motivation for kids who might not, you know, be from the best financial backgrounds and maybe their parents are going through a hard time, I kind of thought, well, they can apply this to their own lives and say, okay, there's hope, because we always want to give our readers hope and encourage them to dream big. So it's like Lady Gaga, Walt Disney, even Abraham Lincoln, they all kind of were down on their luck at some point in time, but then were able to rebound.
Oh, you could have put me in there too. just say the 2008 to me, and living in Florida, and you know what happened here in this state.
Yeah.
But it is a fun book, as always. One of the wonderful things for me, as living on a farm as I was in northern Michigan, it was Nat Geo magazines that opened the world to me. We were very poor. We had nothing. Getting that subscription to Nat Geo, mm-hmm. and those magazines would come, and it was like, it was sunshine to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same experience growing up with my grandfather. You know, he's one of those people who would collect them all and put them on a bookshelf, and I would just peel back, try to find the oldest issues and see how they changed over the years, and it actually sparked my interest in magazines, which launched my writing career. So I think everybody has a little bit of that nostalgia with National Geographic.
Absolutely. And Alvin, I think that your work and with children is so wonderful. And I do hope kids will collect coins, because I don't know how much longer we'll have coins at the rate we're going. I was just at the vegetable market, and one egg costs 80 cents.
That's expensive.
That's expensive. So, you know, when they start hitting a dollar an egg, I guess we'll won't even make coins anymore. But
you know, the wonderful part of that story is about the cost of eggs, is that as the economies change, kids will have the knowledge to grow with it and make the changes necessary and set the priorities in their lives that will help them to be able to maintain a lifestyle, have some financial security, but also help others who may not be as fortunate as they are. Philanthropy is a very important part of the message of this book.
Absolutely. And both of you have just put together a wonderful book for kids, and one that parents and grandparents will read too, because you just can't put it down when you get it. You thumb through it and you find something and then you go back. You've done a wonderful job. I know that, of course, everybody should go to the Nat Geo Kids website. It's fantastic. It has so much videos and games and everything that could just keep a kid occupied. And this book, of course, as always, Nat Geo books are priced so perfectly. It's available online at Nat Geo Kids. Alvin, do you also have a website, or do you have something where you want to share with us?
Yes. My website is alvinhall.com. And I think one of the most interesting things people will find on that website is a story, a memory of my childhood that I recorded on NPR, The Moth. It's called Beyond My Viewmaster Dream.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's wonderful. That's a great thing for people to do. Go there, discover more about Alvin, because Alvin, obviously, he came from a farm, and so many of us farm kids, you know, we were motivated, right?
Yes, we were, because we wanted to see the world. We wanted to get away from the farm, and the idea.
But my brother was the same way. Made it in a big corporate world. And then one day he met my sister-in-law at an airport, and they said, why are we doing this? And he said, let's go to the farm. And
she
didn't even know there was a farm. But it's still there, 80 acres, and he did move back to the farm, had no idea what he was doing, but became an organic farmer. So, you know, when you have enough, understand money enough, and you can do that, it's pretty
exactly.
good. Alvin, mm-hmm. I think you're delightful. And Sarah,
you.
I think it's so wonderful that you've worked on this book and did so much work and
thank
research,
you.
And it's all so beautiful. And thank everybody at Nat Geo. This is a wonderful Valentine's Day gift, people. Really, if you have a kid in your life, get this book, give it to the kid for Valentine's Day, because they will love it. And also, if you have some extra money, get one and send it to a children's hospital, perhaps one near you, or to St. Jude's or Shriners. Can you imagine how happy a kid in a hospital would be to get this book?
Oh, yes, that's a really good idea.
They always appreciate a book. Order it and have it sent directly to a hospital. Both of you, I want to thank you so much. I think the work on this book was fun, and it's now fun for all of the people who are going to read it, and especially for kids learning about the value of money. So Sarah Wassner-Flynn and Elvin Hall, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. You guys are a joy.
Thank you so much, Patsy, for having us.
Okay, bye-bye. And
thank you.
Thank
you very much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Okay, is that nice? Oh, they're so sweet. How much fun they had with this book. Just everything. One page after another, one coin after another. They have some beautiful, beautiful coins in here. And there's all the information on how money is made, where it's made, and which countries are richest. And let me see, which country do they say is richest? I just want to tell everybody. Norway. Did you know that? I didn't realize they were the richest. Ah, of course, it's because of petroleum. My goodness, that's why. They've got all that petroleum. My goodness. Anyway, so see, there's lots of things to learn in this book. And mostly, I think you should learn about what to do about inflation. An egg is 80 cents. I can't believe it. That's a lot of money for an egg. Bye-bye, everybody.